This is Carl the Jackal Frampton.
Hi, this is David Healy.
Hello, this is Stephen Ferris.
Hi, I'm Bethany Ferris.
My name is Shola Amiobi.
I'm Jonas Gutierrez.
Hi, this is Harry Kuehl.
You're listening to The Score. Score.
The Score with Michael Clark. I'm a man.
And welcome along to The Score with me, Michael Clark. It's an Irish Cup semi-final special this week, and we are joined by guests from the top four teams in the country who are the last four teams standing in this year's Irish Cup. From Glentoran, we have Niall McGinn. From Linfield, it will be Kyle McLean. From Cliftonville, Johnny Addis. And making his debut on the programme a little later on, from Larne, Haziel Orozco. It's all coming up right here on The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Yes, this week's show is all about the Irish Cup semi-finals. Before we get our guests on, I do want to say congratulations to Northern Ireland, not just the senior men's team, with their performances against Romania and Scotland. Just how wonderful it has been to see this team continue to progress under Michael O'Neill. Three games unbeaten now, a win in two of their matches, going back to the November game as well against Denmark, which most certainly should be included. Paddy McNair is a captain yet to taste defeat. That's pretty impressive when you look at it that way. So well done. We certainly aren't saying we're about to win a World Cup, or are we? But it's nice to have that sense of optimism around the national sides. But the underage teams have been doing really well in the recent days too. So congratulations to all the players and coaches involved. We will maybe take a closer look at some of the stars of the future in a future programme. How does that sound? But for today, it is all about the Irish Cup, and I do want to give the competition the place and the respect that it deserves. It's such a special one, and to get us underway. A Friday night match at the OVO, Glentoran versus Linfield, famous rivals, locking horns for a place in the final of the Irish Cup. And joining us on the programme, he's scored in the competition already this season. I'm sure he would love to get his hands on it. Very happy to say welcome back onto the show to Niall McGinn. Niall, how are you?
I'm all good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you back on. And the Irish Cup is something every club wants to get their hands on. It's always been described as the big day out, and there's a lot of talk around these semi-finals. Both matches are cracking games, and you need no introduction to your opponents. You know exactly what you're going to get here from Linfield.
Absolutely. Look, first and foremost, it's going to be a very, very tough game. Over a few good battles over the course of this season so far, we've obviously come out on top at the Oval before. They've come out on top at Windsor a couple of times, and then beaten us in the League Cup as well at the Oval. So we know sort of how difficult it's going to be, but it's one of those ones where we're feeling good as a squad, coming off the back of sort of two league wins. We're going into the game confident, and yeah, there'll be a good crowd there, a good atmosphere. But when you sort of look at any course of any season, or towards that big day at the end of the season, you always sort of want to be there and want to be involved. And this is another huge opportunity for obviously both teams, but more importantly, we're just concentrating on ourselves.
Well, before I talk a little bit more about the match, you've been very honest in recent days saying that, you know, with the managerial change, your teammates, you know, you're not free of criticism. The players have to hold their hands up. Just how difficult has this last period of time been? And were you surprised when you heard the news that there was going to be a change?
To be honest, I've been around sort of the game long enough. I've played under a lot of managers sort of coming and going. So for players, it can be difficult, but it's sort of, it's one of those ones you just have to get on with things, because it's not often it doesn't sort of wait too long when a new manager coming in. And yes, of course, you're always sad to see any manager going, but looking back in the course of the season, it just sort of hasn't been good enough, sort of probably us as a group of players, and we take criticism fairly, and it hasn't been good enough over the course of the season. Yes, it's been strong performances and we've won a lot of games, but it just hasn't been consistently good enough over the course of the season. And more often than not, it's unfortunately always sort of the manager is first to sort of, his head's on the line type thing, and he's always the first to go. But all in all, now definitely the players have to take a criticism on board, and we've done that, and we just want to sort of have a good finish to the end of the season, and we've got a huge opportunity obviously with semi-final and then pushing for Europe as well.
And do you have the personalities in there to kind of hold each other accountable? You know, they always say that about a good dressing room, is that people can have those harsh truths with one another.
Definitely, and now we're a squad that we demand standards of each other, and sometimes confidence can't be high all the time, and when confidence is low and things aren't going well and you're losing games, it can be difficult. So it's just getting out of that rut, and there is very experienced players there. There's obviously a lot of young players as well. There's players who've won Irish Cups, won leagues, and it's what do you call it? It's just everyone sticking together and singing off the same hymn sheet. Now I've got a new manager coming in who's very enthusiastic and wants us to work hard, and it's been very refreshing over the course of the last few weeks. It's a manager I know very well, and he demands high standards, as did the last manager as well. So all in all, it's down to us who go out on the pitch, and we have to reduce more often than that.
Yes, you work with Declan Devine at Derry City. He was the assistant manager there, so a bit of a reunion of sorts, and he hasn't had much time to sit and watch things. He's had to get stuck right in. Maybe sometimes it's better just to dive into the deep end. Have you noticed any immediate changes? Is he working you a little extra hard as he susses people out?
First and foremost, he's a great guy. He's coming in and he's very enthusiastic. Look, every manager's different, and every manager goes about their things differently. Training's been intense. It's been tough, but it's been very enjoyable. And even before, training was intense as well. So every manager's different, and they see things differently. But no, look, the last couple of weeks has been enjoyable. There's a wee bit of a different maybe spring in the steps and in the guys in training. But you get that with any new manager when they do come in. So it's I've worked with him before. He always wants to sort of get the best out of every player, and he wants to sort of keep clean sheets. He always wants to attack and create chances. So it's about sort of keeping the ball out of your net, but obviously going and scoring goals on the other end as well. So now it's always nice to see a familiar face, and it's good to see that we've sort of hit the ground running, as you like to say. We're sort of two league games straight away, two wins.
And you know what the standards are at the club and what people are hoping for, and you as a professional that have played at the level you've played at in your career, I'm sure as well, you want this to be a successful part of your career, and to do that, silverware is such a big part of it.
Absolutely. It's just like anything, you'll always sort of look back in your career, where you went, where you've been to, what you've played in. But I think sort of even there recently, when I was over in Aberdeen there, and just to sort of meet up with the whole Aberdeen team, it was like a 10-year anniversary when we won the League Cup. But to sort of have moments like that, it's always great to look back on and see sort of the good times. So to achieve something like that at Glentoran would be extra special. Although I'm well on my career, but I'm still hungry for success. You come to a club like Glentoran, you want to be competing for leagues, you want to be competing for cups. So now this is obviously a huge chance for us to get into a final of an Irish Cup.
And the team has already been to one final this season, beaten on the day by Larne, but you know, a chance to get back, and it could be Larne in the final. Larne Clifton Villa is the other game. Looking at Linfield, the match in December was absolutely remarkable, and you were star of the show. I know Dara O'Connor got two goals, but I mean, one of your best performances for Glentoran. I don't think Linfield saw it coming. In under 10 minutes they were 2-0 down, and the entire team, the entire stadium, it felt like, was on fire that night. It was such an incredible atmosphere.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It just felt like everything just sort of clicked on the night, and that's what's going to need to happen. Look, you'll need a wee bit of luck along the way, but you need to be defensively very, very strong. And I think on that night we were just very clinical. We worked hard off the ball and kept sort of Linfield to a minimum. But they've good players in the team, and they're always expected to create chances. And we know sort of how difficult of a task it's going to be. It'll not be another game like that night, I wouldn't imagine. I think that was just one of those nights where everything sort of clicked together, and they maybe had an off night, but us as a group of players, we were just very strong on the night. So it's about getting back to them sort of them standards and demand of each other during the game, and just sort of using just big moments in the game to sort of kick on and give you that confidence to go and have a very enjoyable night. So now we're under no illusions how tough a task it's going to be to go out and sort of perform like that again. But no, look, come Friday night we'll be ready, but with the help of the sort of the home fans, and yes, the away fans will bring that extra incentive of a great atmosphere, but it's down to the players on the pitch to go out and perform, and which will be a very tough game.
It might sound a silly question given the matches you've played in your career, but where does this derby sit? You know, what's the experience been like? Obviously you've played in a few of them now.
No, it's been great. It's been sort of unique. I think it's just sort of the diehard Northern Irish fans you get, even sort of in the league all the time. It's a lot of fans that obviously come and watch Northern Ireland and probably supported myself over the years, and you sort of always get that sort of, I don't know, it's just real sort of bit of rivalry that you get maybe in an Aberdeen Rangers game, obviously Celtic Rangers you have as well. So to be involved in those type of derbies, it's always great, and they're big sort of games you want to be involved with. So you know, when you're at big clubs such as Linfield and Lintorne, more often than not when those games come round, it's a Belfast big two, and to be part of those games is always extra special. Yeah.
And the funny thing in football is fans are always really, nearly overly honest at times, aren't they, Niall, to say, I loved you for Northern Ireland, but you play for them now, so I've got an issue with you.
I've been used to that for my whole career, even obviously when I was playing for Celtic, and I was coming up against Rangers, Aberdeen Rangers, and you'd be sort of stuck in the crossroads at times. You have obviously maybe Northern Ireland fans who follow Rangers, but bottom line is if you're playing for Northern Ireland during my career, it's just about going out there and giving it your all and doing as well as you possibly can. So now Glentoran's my club now, it's my bread and butter, so it's about sort of go out there and performing first and foremost for yourself, but more importantly for the fans and the club, playing for the club as well in general.
And in terms of playing your football, is this the club you want to stay at for the foreseeable future? People will naturally wonder about, you know, long term, what you're looking to do.
No, well, first of all, I've been back playing now. I think realistically, if I'm looking over the course of the season, it's been probably a wee bit frustrating because I haven't played as much football as I'd like to play. But look, that's decisions you have to respect the manager, etc. But look, I've played the last couple of games now. I've felt good and I've contributed, which has been good. So for me, it's always trying to help the team. And over the course of the season, it was about me being ready at different times and trying to contribute to any chance I got on the pitch. So look, my opportunities were probably limited, but look, here I am under a new manager, and I'll always keep the head down and always be a good teammate and work hard. So now regarding sort of the future, I'm just looking to play for as long as I can. So who knows what the future holds, but more importantly, it's about now, and now I'm enjoying my football, so I can't complain too much.
Someone that recently retired, an old international teammate of yours now in the coaching world, Stephen Davis, you know him so well, just how much do you think he brings right away to that camp? Michael O'Neill been able to have him there to give players advice?
So many positives straight away. Just initially, just his stature, him sort of being around the squad, being on the pitch, off the pitch, players being able to speak to him in a general day to day. Young players being able to come over and speak to him, and for obviously Davo himself to speak to them and give them confidence, to give them sort of ideas, to sort of anything he can do to help them will be unbelievable, because he's been there and he's done it, and he's played at the top level his whole career, and he's achieved so much on an international stage. So even for Michael to feed off as well, it's a huge asset for Michael to sort of have a shoulder there to go back on and speak to about. And look, players, managers, ex-coaches, they see the game differently, or they see different things at different times, so they sort of have that experience in general, and for Michael himself to have that, and yeah, for the players as well, it's great. So me sort of knowing Dave on how he is as a character, he's quite quiet at times, which is fine, but how he's always went about his business has been second to none, and it can only be a big positive for the international side.
And I noticed, you know, ahead of the Scotland game as part of the IFA's build up, they put a video up, Michael O'Neill talking about their relationship, and he was quite candid, I thought, saying how both of them were able to tell each other when they thought the other one was wrong or get advice from one another. There seems a real trust there, which naturally you need in football.
Absolutely, and I think like any manager, being realistic, I'm sure most of them like being challenged. They'll have their own ideas themselves, and we'll think about things that maybe is the right thing to do, whereas more often than not, it can be. But when you're challenged and somebody else sees someone, and somebody who you know, such as Steve Davis, who's played at a high level his whole career, to have that sort of experience at your side, it can only benefit you no matter what. So, yes, there'll be moments where Michael will take a lot of information on board from the likes of Stephen, and yeah, that can only benefit them. So all in all, it's, as I said before, the sort of benefit the international team in general to bring in those right types of people, and to sort of use every sort of positive, every experience that Davo's had under Michael, use that obviously now with all the younger lads coming through.
And when you were back at Aberdeen, did they give you any clues about the next manager?
They didn't know. My name wasn't in the hat, unfortunately, but look, the last probably three managers hasn't worked really well, so it's about getting the right appointment now, I think, and now it's too big of a club for them to be down competing in the bottom half of the table. So now hopefully they get it right and they get the right man in for the job, and the club can sort of kick on again.
Have you a pick yourself? Not necessarily asking you to put a wager on it, but is there someone you would like to see take it on?
There's different, I think there's different characters. It depends what you want. I think Neil Lennon's been obviously a big one that's been named Alex Ray. So sort of likes to have a Neil Lennon type character is probably what they need at the moment. Somebody who knows the Scottish game very well and has that huge experience, obviously being at Hibs, being a Celtic. So I think they need to maybe go down that line of bringing in somebody who knows the league and knows how to get results and knows how to get the best out of a group of players. And I think Neil Lennon would be a brilliant candidate, if I'm being honest.
Okay, Niall, really great catching up with you. And just before I let you go, in terms of the season and the whole, because you don't have to look too far for hyperbole in football. People in my job do it all the time. And, everyone's talking about life or death scenarios when we all know there's much more to life than football. But how much of your season do you think hinges on the Linfield game?
If I'm being realistic, I think it's huge. It's going to be a huge game. It's one of those ones, if you come away with a draw win, then your season sort of can turn out to be a real good season if you get that final and potentially win it. So if we're looking from now back the ways, it's been a disappointing season. So it just shows you within the space of a few weeks how your season can sort of turn around and finish off on a high. And like sort of any player, you always want to finish the season strongly. And we felt we did that last year. We sort of hit the ground running from sort of maybe end of January, February onwards, and we had a real sort of good crack at the European playoffs, and we beat Cliftonville in the final as well. And now things just went from strength to strength, so we'll be wanting to do that this year around as well. But if we're talking about sort of the Irish Cup itself, yes, it's going to be huge, but we know we want to qualify for Europe as well. But I think if you're looking at the now, it's just getting in a final of the Irish Cup, and then if we can sort of use that as getting the European football through the Irish Cup, then so be it. So yeah, Freddie's massive, and we're looking forward to it.
Great to catch up with you. Loved having you on the programme again this week, Niall, and best of luck. Thanks so much.
No problem, thank you.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now, we've heard a Glentoran perspective. Let's get their opponents onto the programme now. Linfield and Glentoran, an absolutely massive matchup this Friday night. And from Linfield, a player who is having one of, if not his very best season. For me, a standout player across the country, Kyle McLean. Kyle, great to have you on the programme.
No worries. Thanks for having me, Michael.
You've been in blistering form this year. 8 league goals. You're into double figures across all competitions, but it's beyond your goals. You've really stood out. From your perspective, what has allowed you to really kick on in this campaign?
I think for me, just I've had maybe a run of games that I maybe haven't had over the last couple of seasons. Especially, I've played more or less every minute of every game this year, which has allowed me to get into a good run of form, and thankfully it's just continued on. So I think over the last couple of years it's been difficult, maybe a wee bit stop start, but this year I've know, I've had a good run at it, and just enjoying playing it, playing my football at the moment.
And in terms of the goals, is that a tweak to how you're playing, or is it just play more games, get more chances?
No, I'd say it probably is a slight tweak. I've spoke to the gaffer and Ross Oliver and the coaches, and try to maybe change my game a little bit, and maybe don't get involved in the build up as much, and basically just try and get into the box more. And thankfully it's worked out. Things, if you get between the sticks, things maybe fall to you, and once you get a taste for it, things maybe just tend to fall for you a wee bit more. So there's been maybe a slight tweak there, but I think obviously playing more games helps as well. But just a slight tweak and try to change the game a little bit.
It's really interesting hearing that, because everyone wants to be able to score goals. No matter how much some of us try, it's never going to be something we can add to our game, but it's obviously something you've been able to do.
Yeah, and from when I was younger, I actually used to be, and the gaffer knew me as a striker when I was a kid. So, I used to obviously play up front, and was used to being around the box, but for whatever reason, I've obviously dropped back the pitch. But I just think getting into them areas more often has given me more chances, and long may continue. Hopefully, from my point of view, it's something that I've enjoyed doing, getting forward a wee bit more, as I say, hopefully it continues.
The next couple of weeks will go a long way to shaping the answer to this question, but what's your thoughts on a potential domestic treble?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I haven't really given too much thought, because it's the old cliche, you've got that many games and you sort of take it a game at a time. But look, it's nice to be involved in every competition. I think that's sort of the expected standard at Linfield, and always has been. But for me, it was nice to win the League Cup a couple of weeks ago. The league's always a long slog, and for the minute we're just concentrating on the game this week, obviously against Glentoran. So we'll see what happens in the next few weeks, but we are literally taking it game by game, because they're coming thick and fast at the moment.
And with that League Cup final win, Portadown gave you a really good game. I thought, they had a couple of chances early on. You were able to get your goals before half time and make it a bit more comfortable, but I mean, they made it a proper final.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I went on record and said after the final that the Portadown, really put it up this that day. I thought they were really, really good. Give a great account of themselves. I think the two goals before half time did settle us down a wee bit. But it was never going to be as comfortable as people were maybe making out, seeing it was a championship team against a premiership team. It was never going to be straightforward. And as I said, credit to Portadown. They were brilliant against us, especially in the first half. And even when they got their goal in the second half, they rallied again and came back. But thankfully we got goals at good times, and allowed us to maybe be a wee bit more comfortable in the second half.
And that was your third winner's medal of the competition, if I'm right.
Yeah, it was probably the nicest one, to be honest. The first year was good, but it was I actually didn't play any other part in the competition apart from the final. And then last year I didn't start the game, so it was obviously good, but this year was sweet just to play and to enjoy the whole occasion. I really enjoyed it this year.
And I mean, it's amazing how things can come on, isn't it? And you look at how you've played practically every minute this season. It must just add to your confidence when it's not will I play, but I should be playing.
Yeah, I think confidence is a massive thing in sport in general. And I think when you are confident and you're going to play every week, it's you maybe try things you wouldn't try if you're maybe in and out of the team. You're a wee bit more cautious in the way you play. So. I think when you have the confidence of all the staff and the confidence in yourself, you're going to play, you maybe try different things, and thankfully so far this season a lot of that has worked, and hopefully that continues.
And this match against Glentoran is a chance for you to reach your first Irish Cup final, which some people might not realise.
Obviously we spoke a couple of years ago in the COVID year. I missed the final whenever I done my knee, basically. So it was a hard one to sit out and watch. Thankfully the boys went on to win it, so I've actually never played in an Irish Cup semi-final, so I'm really looking forward to it. They don't obviously come much bigger as the opposition, so I'm really looking forward to it, and it's a great opportunity for us.
And naturally, when you talk about Linfield and Glentoran, your mind can go way back in the past to some amazing games, or even in recent times, some not so happy memories for you, and one in particular this season at the Oval.
Yeah, you know, there's always highs and lows when you play in these games. Obviously, that game at the Oval is still, you know, pretty fresh in the mind, and you know it was a sore night for us all that night. But you know, we have had good results against Glentoran this season, which has been spoken about. But you know, we won't forget that one pretty quickly. So tomorrow gives us an opportunity to go back and put it back up to Glentoran, and you know, sort of tone a wee bit for that night. So no, we're looking forward to it.
And it always feels unfair to pick on one match, because you say, well, we've beat them a couple of times, why are you talking about the time we lost? But can you put your finger on what happened that night? People like Glentoran have just said, from their perspective, it felt like everything clicked.
Yeah, and you know, you can get games like that. I know we obviously conceded early, which is difficult. But you know, in big games especially, it just happens at times where, you know, things go against you, balls ricochet in certain directions. It's just one of them things where it can just go against you. Unfortunately, that night, they maybe had 8, 9, 10 players that were on it, and we maybe had 9 or 10 players that weren't on it. And, you know, it was obviously a sore night, and we didn't dwell on it for too long after. But you know, it's still in the memory, and it's still there.
And coming into this game, what sort of Glentoran do you expect to face? They're under a new manager.
You know, it's hard to, anything that's a new manager, it's hard to sort of see what way they're going to play, or you know, if they're going to get a, you know, a kickoff. Usually teams do get a kickoff with a new manager, but I think regardless, it doesn't really matter, because of the size of the game and you know who we're playing, and the fact it's semi-final, it sort of all goes out the window. So you know really what they expect in a big two game, so it'll probably be pretty chaotic. So no, we just go into the game and try and play our game and see what happens.
And then looking ahead to the league, you're involved in the Tuesday night fixture away to Carrick Rangers. Doing the quick sums, if Carrick won the top half finish, they have to beat you by 5 goals. So, you know, I think Carrick Rangers fans are thinking that seems a little unrealistic. But at the same time, you can't rest on your laurels going to Carrick. You want to potentially put yourselves top of the table that night, depending on how things go in the game at Solitude between Cliftonville and Larne.
Yeah, I mean, Carrick will still have aspirations of getting in the top six. Obviously, you know, there's a lot to do to get there, but regardless, when you go down to Carrick, or even when Carrick came to Windsor, you get a very, very difficult game. You know, they're a very experienced team, and you know, it's always a tough game. We were down there earlier in the season, and it was very difficult for us, and thankfully we came away with 3 points. But you know, for us, we obviously concentrate on the Glentoran game first, and then I'm sure whenever that's over, we'll turn our attention to Carrick, which is another massive game for us.
And on the young players, there's been so much said about the players that have come through, and I know in football we always trot out the cliche, you know, if you're good enough, you're old enough, but it takes a lot, doesn't it, as a young player coming through at a club like Linfield, to not shrink under the pressure, under the spotlight?
Yeah, definitely. I think this season especially we've definitely had a younger squad. We maybe have 4 or 5 players that are sort of over and around the age of 30, but the majority of the squad's all very young. We've had a lot of young players. You know, it's probably unfair to name them all, but or to name a few. But there's been plenty that have come in, and when they've had to, they've been brilliant. And you know, they'll only learn from that experience. And you know, the pressure that comes with playing Linfield, you know, they've thrived under that this season. And you know, long may it continue.
At what, 25 years of age, we can hardly call you a senior citizen, but you must feel like one of the more experienced players in the squad now.
Yeah, I mean, I won't say I'm getting on yet, I don't think I am, but I think when you sort of look around the dressing room, especially this year, you know, you do feel a wee bit older, and haven't been, you know, been there for 5 years now. You've been there longer than most people, so you sort of have to take on a bit more responsibility, and you know, I've enjoyed doing that. It's good to see. Obviously, there's still a lot of boys that have been there from I was there, but the change room definitely seems a lot younger this year. But that you know, has helped at times. You know, they maybe come with a lot less fear and just go and play their game. And as I say, without naming any of them, because I think it's unfair to name anyone individually, they've all played their part, they've all been brilliant.
Does it get easier the longer you do something? You know, in terms of when you came into Linfield, I don't know how confident you felt then, but you know, the longer you're there, does it become easier to be, you know, a player at a big club and kind of grow into the role and what they expect of you?
It's a hard one to answer. I think you sort of have to realise quickly when you come in the size of the club, and more importantly, the expectations of the club, and that's to win, you know, every game, especially domestically, and to compete in every competition. I think once you sort of realise that, if you realise it quickly, it becomes a lot, I'd say a lot easier, but it does become a little easier. And, you know, it helps, and you go into the dressing room, and especially when I went in at the time when I was young, that, you know, a lot of boys had been there and done it for so many years, and it's sort of easier to sit back and watch them, and then I sort of moving forward, you're hoping you can sort of lend a hand to the younger players and sort of, you know, show them the right way to go and the right path whenever you come to the club. So yeah.
And just finally, what's your message to fans going into the split? I'm sure they can't wait to see what way the fixtures fall. We probably have a fairly good idea as to how they're going to go. Certainly, we expect to know the top half teams already. It's probably as it currently stands. Every game is a huge one from here on in.
Yeah, definitely. The message would be just to come and, as they have done all season, come and get right behind us. And, you know, whether that be home or away, they always come in the numbers, but they just stay behind the team and support us at every game, and, you know, just have one final push on all fronts.
Brilliant. A real treat to catch up with you, Kyle. Thanks so much for coming on to The Score.
Boy, thanks very much.
The Score with Michael Clark.
There you go. Friday's game pitting fourth against second. Saturday's clash sees third face first in the semi-final of the Irish Cup, and we begin our preview of Cliftonville versus Larne with defender Johnny Addis of the North Belfast side. Hiya, Johnny.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Great to have you back on the show. And you're in a very select group of Cliftonville players who have played in and won an Irish Cup final. I think it's only yourself and Connor Pepper. So you want to get back into that situation again with your teammates here, but a difficult match, to say the least.
Yeah, definitely. Really difficult game. Obviously, Larne are flying high at the minute, and have been on a long, long unbeaten run. So, yeah, we're well aware of how difficult a task it's going to be on Saturday. But it's an occasion that everybody's looking forward to, and we'll give it a good go.
Your success came with Glentoran against Portadown in 2015. I know you were also on the wrong side of a game against Glentoran a few years later with Ballymena. But in terms of that big day in 2015, how special a moment is that for you in your career, and how fondly do you look back on it?
Okay, I suppose you do. You look back on those times fondly. You know, I was quite young in my career at the time, and I suppose when you're that age, you're maybe naive enough to think that you're going to get a chance to do it, you know, every other year, and since then I've only been in the final once. So yeah, I probably took it for granted a wee bit at the time, and there's probably a bittersweet element to that one as well, because I'd played a lot of games during that season, but in the lead up to the final was out of the team and was on the bench on the final that day. So yeah, it's a bit bittersweet. It wasn't probably quite the same as it would have been obviously if it was starting the game, but still fond memories of looking back and what was actually a miserable day at the Oval. Normally cup final weather's sun shining and shorts and t-shirt kind of weather in May, but on that particular day it was absolutely horrendous, the weather, and obviously it was a bit different with it being at the Oval, but I suppose that makes it a wee bit more unique as well.
It could well be miserable weather again this weekend. It hasn't been wonderful so far.
Yeah, could be looking like it, Michael. It's heading that direction anyway, so yeah, fingers crossed it'll settle down a wee bit and allow for a decent game for the spectators on Saturday.
Bring us into the Cliftonville camp then. How do you feel preparations are coming into this matchup?
Yeah, preparations have been good. Obviously, things have probably been a little bit stop-start for us in terms of games-wise. With the League Cup final weekend, we didn't have a game, and then we played Loughgall, and then no game last weekend with international call-up. So we've had plenty of time to rest after what's been already a long, difficult season where a lot of energy has been put in, and we've been able now over the last week really to focus in on this game. And so yeah, there's no excuses in terms of time to prepare, and the mood in the camp's good, the boys are feeling good, and yeah, we'll see where it takes us.
The obvious point to look at is the head-to-head record against the other big teams in and around, well, the remaining semi-finalists, you could look at it in terms of this competition. Drawn 3, lost 5 in 8 top flight meetings against Lauren Linfield and Glenn Torin to date. That's obviously something you're going to want to put right.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that we're aware of and is really probably the reason why we're slightly off the pace in the league at this stage. The record's not good enough, if we're honest about it. But you know, they're three good sides, and you have to respect that too. And but that, having said that, I don't think, you know, there's any fear going into Saturday. We'll go into the game confident. A lot of those games have been fine margins in them, and maybe could have went either way. So yeah, it's something we will look to address on Saturday. But I think cup football is always unique in that it's, you know, it's on the day, and sometimes games just play out in a mad way that's just different from a league game. So it's certainly not a burden going into Saturday, but yeah, it would be nice to get one over one of the top sides, especially going into the split games in the league after as well, obviously, where you're playing all the top sides.
And between yourselves and Lauren, you both have, as clubs, your own woes to talk about when it comes to this competition. For Cliftonville, it's way back to 1979 for the last time the Reds lifted the Irish Cup. Lauren have the record that nobody wants to have of being in the most finals ever without ever having won the competition. I wonder, will it be from this side of the draw that a winner comes from this year?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I think, obviously, both sets of players, I don't think will really be too interested in that side of things. Obviously, supporters and people who have been around the league for years will be well aware of those sort of numbers and statistics about final losses and how many years it's been and all that. But, you know, from our point of view, and I'm sure Lauren will be very much the same, this is a squad of players that this is their first year going at it. In terms of the turnover in the summer, and Lauren will be looking at it the same way. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, Linfield and Glen Torin have a rich history in the competition, but that won't really concern either team beyond thinking about the game on Saturday. So yeah,
how much of how well this season has gone to date do you put down to the manager and the coaching staff? You know, when we look back, and Jim McGilton's very candid about it when he spoke on the programme a couple of months ago, he faced a bit of flak coming in, but he seems to have converted a lot of people since then.
Yeah, Jim and Skin and Ricky have come in and been brilliant with the boys. The lads have responded to it really well. Obviously, we sort of got off to a really good start, a quick start in the league, and I think people forget too. Obviously, Paddy done a fantastic job with the, you know, in the previous regime, but last season probably ended on a sour note, really, with us sort of fading away in the league and then losing the playoff, where Glen Torin won convincingly on the day. And so there was I think off the back of that, there was a bit of a sour feeling going into the season, and then with obviously the bit of flack that Jim got on his appointment added to that, really. So credit the coaching staff. I don't think for one minute, certainly from what I could see anyway, that we're interested in all the outside noise, and you have to be that way if you're gonna be successful in any way. And the players were very much the same, just got on with it. And yeah, they've come in and tweaked a few things, I suppose. Maybe from the outside looking in, people are able to see maybe slight changes in how we play and our approach. Obviously, we've taken on a system that is probably something we didn't play quite so much last year. So yeah, credit to them and also to the boys, because in the main we've been good this season.
And the other thing that looks to be good news is the return of Ben Wilson. I mean, such a great start to his campaign, and then a spell on the sidelines. Having him back in the squad, I would think, would be a big lift.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, you want to have that firepower in your squad, especially in cup games where subs play a big part and can come on and change a game, or starting the game and knowing that you have that extra firepower on the bench or whatever makes a big difference. So yeah, we're extremely blessed at that end of the pitch with Ronan and Joe and Ben and Sam, and then, you know, you've Ryan Kern as well, who hasn't kicked a ball this season, unfortunately, but who's a top player and has been a big miss for us. So yeah, all the boys are strong at that end of the pitch, and Ben is included in that category and obviously gives us a lift going into the cup final, given the goals he scored this season, and even when you look at recently, you know, he was out injured and maybe wasn't scoring so regularly just in around Christmas time, and yet he's still up the top of the scoring chart. So that just shows you how good he's been for us, and particularly at the start of the season.
And talking about your goal scorers, there was a big celebration at the weekend for Joe Gormley, had his testimonial event, and it looked like everybody had a very good night.
Yeah, it was a brilliant night. Just exactly what Joe deserved. You know, he's an absolute credit to himself and his family, the way he conducts himself, his humility, how he goes about things, and yeah, it was a night that he had well earned for his service to Cliftonville and the Irish League football, for the goals he scored, and obviously being a brilliant player on the pitch, but just a brilliant fella off the pitch as well, and was rightly recognised on Saturday past.
And having those types of occasions, very nice. Can't hurt, actually, in terms of, you know, people do sometimes say football, you can get bogged down in the minutiae of it. Just having a bit of time to enjoy each other's company and not be focused on a set task or under any pressure must be a little different and quite nice.
Yeah, I think it was. I think that's, you know, as I said earlier, generally we've had a bit more time to prepare over the last couple of weeks, and the game sort of being postponed last Saturday, I suppose, helped the boys get an extra session in, and then, as you say, with the testimonial dinner last Saturday night, sort of takes a wee bit of the pressure off that weekend. Whereas if you had, the game was originally scheduled obviously for Monday night against Lorne, and you know, maybe things would have been a bit more pressurised and whatever, but yeah, no, it's nice to just get around each other and enjoy a wee bit of camaraderie going into the latter stages of the season.
And just briefly, I want to ask you about the fact that you play each other again on Easter Tuesday. It's strange when this kind of comes around. It can make people a little uneasy playing the same team twice so close together, because I don't know how true it is. I haven't crunched the numbers, but it feels like teams don't win both matches when that happens.
Yeah, I suppose it's unique, and it probably doesn't happen too often from our point of view, obviously, and I'm sure Lauren will be the same. There's very, very little thought about Easter Tuesday at this stage. It's all focuses on Saturday's game, and we'll get through it first, and then Easter Tuesday we'll take it as it comes. But yeah, obviously it's an intense period for all the teams in the league, really, whether you're at the top challenging or playing for European places, or at the bottom fighting relegation. There's big games coming up for everyone. But yeah, we'll be focusing on Saturday, and Tuesday will take care of itself. Obviously, they're very, very different games, or different venues, and yeah, with different size crowds and whatever. So the games will play very differently, I'm sure. But yeah, we're just solely focused on Saturday at this stage.
And if it was to go all the way to penalties on Saturday, which is something I haven't really spoken about in the programme, extra time and penalties, would you be stepping up to hit one?
I'd probably cramp up about 119 minutes in, I think, Michael, or try to anyway, just to get a sub one, so I'd have to dodge one. No, I don't know. Listen, we've got plenty of talent at the top end of the pitch, and I'd always be happy to hit one if required, but I think as a centre half, if your forward players are willing to hit, then you have to give them first crack at it. So yeah, if it goes that far, then you know, I'm sure we'll have plenty of willing takers if needs be, and I'm sure we'll do a wee bit of practice between now and then on them, just in case that's how it pans out.
Johnny, great to talk to you. Thank you very much for coming on to The Score.
Cheers. Thanks, Michael.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now, Lorn fans, do not worry. We have not forgotten about you. Time to get one of your star players from this season on to chat about the big Irish Cup semi-final this Saturday at Windsor Park. It's a warm welcome and a debut on the programme for Haziel Orozco. Haziel, great to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing the very best. All the better for speaking to you. And in terms of where your season is at now, could you have dreamt it going much better when the conversation was had way back when about coming to Northern Ireland on a loan move?
Yeah, I think it's been great. I knew what I came to, knowing the guys, it was a good environment. The gaffer had, the first time he spoke to me and told me, you're going to fit in pretty well, and our goal is to win the championship again. And I think by the looks of now, right now in the semi-final of the Irish Cup, top of the table in the league, I think we're in a great spot. I think the lads have been doing great, and our mentality is just right, and just keep going game by game. And personally, I think I've been doing good, and I feel strong. I feel good physically and mentally, and just really happy that I'm in a good place.
Does anything prepare you for the first few weeks in a new country? I imagine there was an initial culture shock.
Yeah, of course. Everything's just different when you come from a different place all around the world and the other side of the world and from America to here. Everything just switches up. Even people, accents, just culture, everything's just different. Like we were saying right now, the weather is something that it's probably I'm not going to get used to. Probably I say I did, but I don't think so, because every time I see the rain come again, it's hard to get used to, and you know it's not going to be the perfect day for a training session. But no, it's been great. I've been loving the people here, the support I've been having from my teammates, from the coaching staff, from the people around the club, from the fans when they go to the stadium. It's something that I got used to for sure. And at the end of the day, I came here to play football, which is the thing I love, the sport I love, and I've been loving every single minute of it.
And your family have been so supportive. They've even travelled over to watch you play. That's a great commitment on their part.
Yeah, they loved it. It was on Chris when it was Boxing Day during those festive days. It was in Christmas, and they left. They left a little bit after New Year's. And they loved it. They just wanted to see how is the football on the other side of the world? How's Irish football? And for some of my family members, it was the first time traveling around the world, so it was something they really liked, a new experience for them, and it was just nice and really, really comfortable to see my family here and loving every single bit of it.
And how cool is that, knowing that it's because of what you're doing at the moment that they're getting those experiences?
Oh yeah, it's actually something you can't describe and put into words. What can I say? I think it's just you feel proud of yourself of what you're doing and being able to get your family and giving the new experience. Not only just watching them and me play football, which is a big part, but also like when we're here, just going around in Belfast or going on to the other side of Ireland in Dublin, all the stuff, just giving them new experiences and given the opportunity to see something new. I feel proud about that, yeah.
And looking through the Irish Cup run that you've had, it's been a comprehensive performance from Lorn to date. 4-1 win in the fifth round, 5-0 in the sixth round, and then in the quarterfinal, 4-1. I would expect that you're not thinking that it's going to be just as comfortable this time around against Cliftonville.
Yeah, we know Cliftonville is a good side, and I think that mentality when it comes to this cup competition, it's win or go home, and I think that's one of the things that when the pressure's put upon us and when there's a big rally right in front of our faces, we deal with it pretty well, and I think we play our best football when it comes to those teams, and we know Cliftonville is a good side. But I feel we feel prepared right now. The team's really working hard tactically. And physically as well. I feel we have a good talent to take this opportunity and get the win to the final.
and with you playing them again on Easter Tuesday. Any thoughts on two games against the same team so close together? Some people can get a bit superstitious with that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that right now our first side of view is just that Saturday afternoon. I think we're not really thinking right now about Tuesday. We're just taking one game at a time, and we're not really thinking about the future. What happened before is just this week is today, and then tomorrow, the days before Saturday, is just a semifinal, and what comes next, we'll think about that later. But right now, I feel it's just the first semifinal, and then whatever happens next, we'll prepare for that pretty well.
And winning the County Antrim Shield already this season, Larne have made a habit of winning that in recent years. It clearly is a trophy they never want to hand back. But for you, what was that like? Does it feel like a little milestone ticked off in your own career, getting that silverware this side of the pond?
Yeah, of course. Actually, it's funny you say that, because it was my first
oh, wow,
trophy as a professional football player. And I was talking to my father the other day about that. It's just, look, he told me, look, it's a trophy, and you don't play the finals, you win the finals. And it's something that for me as a young player, and it felt really great. It feels like you said, it's checking one box and saying, okay, you got something under your belt. It's still a trophy, whatever it is. And it felt really good. It felt good to lift the trophy, to be named champion in the competition, and something that I will never forget for sure.
It is also a ridiculously heavy trophy. I don't know, did anyone warn you? Did you feel that when you lifted it up, going, why is it like this?
Yeah, I've heard. Actually, Tomas Crosgrove is the one that told me. He's such a guy, such a character, that he told me that it's really heavy, that's massive. And once I lifted up, I was like, oh, these guys were talking facts here, and they were actually telling the truth. But I'll try to raise it with both my hands, but I was like, nah, just put it, just keep it on the ground. And it was, nah, it's really heavy.
Because that would be one of the all-time great sporting injuries, wouldn't it? He's out for a couple of months. What happened? He was crushed by a trophy. I don't know if that's ever happened before.
Yeah, thank God that didn't happen. We wouldn't want to do that.
And you mentioned the conversation with your father. Is he your big sporting influence? Was he the reason that this sport over others was the one you wanted to pursue?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. I grew up with watching him play he was a football player, a pro football player back in Mexico. He did play for probably 13 to 14 years, and I feel my mother used to tell me as well that I love the feeling of being in the stadium when it was the first time I watched him play, or even going into the changing rooms with his teammates, or just everything, just going with him to practice, to training. I mean, it's something that I felt like he really influenced on me. And once I saw a ball or just training with him, it was something that, okay, this is what I want to do. And I remember when he used to ask me before, like, are you sure you want to do this? When I was like more of a kid, more of a teenager, once you have to like make the decision. And I was like, yeah, I'm all out for it. I know it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of really mental strength to do that. But it was something that I wanted since day one, I feel like.
And, you know, when you think of the standard of football in Mexico, it has produced some superb footballers. Does your dad have any nice photographs in the house that he likes to show off to visitors from his professional days? And, I played against this guy once, or anything like that?
Yeah, he does. He really likes his memories. He tells me that he misses it a lot. That he wished that he could take back the time and play against me or play with me. He's always showing off some of his championship medals in Liga MX, which is the first division in Mexico. And he always gives me crap about it. He tells me, like, look, when you win one of these, just let me know and we'll have a chat. But it's something that we really look, and he helps me a lot, by the way. He tells me, he shows me some players, or he calls some players so they can chat with me, so they can give me some advice or some tips, so my head doesn't go somewhere else, or just to get me mentally strong, or just anything that can help me get better in terms of just as a person or as a football player. But yeah, it's definitely nice to have someone that really lifted before and can give you tips about not when to fall or not where to trip, and keep your head in the right place.
I love that attitude that you have. And, you know, coming into the league, you've talked about it. You've been part of a documentary series. You've had quite a busy year, truth be told, really. But, you know, the style of play and stepping into, as a young man, a very physical league. And I know there's lots of talented players here, but stylistically, quite a different league than the one that you were growing up in. You seem to have transitioned into football in Northern Ireland pretty seamlessly, which not everybody does, and there's been some very good players that have come here and struggled. Did anyone in particular help you, or was that just a thing you had to figure out yourself?
I think it was part of both. Before in the beginning, I couldn't play. I was like 4 or 3 games I couldn't play, and I did really take a look at how the game went on. Like you were saying, it's a lot of physical, a lot of just a different style of play, and also talking to the gaffer and talking to Seamus, which is our assistant, and they just told me how some tips how to adapt to the game, and I felt I did that pretty good. And in coming in my first game against Neary, I kind of had a feeling for the league, and it was just, even in training, it was something that you could see and you had to adapt to. But now the when it was like game by game, it was like step by step, and it's like everything in life, you just gotta get used to it and adapt on it, and I think I did that pretty well.
And looking at the title race, we know it is so, so close. What's your outlook on it? We've heard different figures from Lauren talk about how the club approaches it. What's your philosophy in a title run? And it's nice to be in one, but, you know, how do you not get carried away with things?
I think it's good that the team is doing a pretty good job on the mental side of things. Probably we know we have a good talent, we have the good side of in the football side of it. We know we can play, we know we can perform, but sometimes I think it's just a mentality thing of saying, okay, we're on top of the table, we're some points clear of the second place, we've been doing pretty well. But I think it's just a winning mentality that the gaffer always talks to us about. It's just not putting that foot off the pedal and keep on going, keep on performing and keep on winning, and letting people know that, okay, Lauren are still here. Probably we were champions last year, but we're going for all for it again. And I think that reflects on the performance we've done against the big teams, against every team, and something that up to this point, up to this semifinal that we're talking about, we still have that mentality going, saying, okay, whoever steps in front of us, we're just going to win. And once you have that feeling that you feel great about it, and that's what you want to finish this season at the end of the day.
And just finally, something that I noticed is the ferocious way in which you try to keep clean sheets as a team, to the point where after the Newington game, there was such a frustration that the penalty was given away, and, you know, even a week or so afterwards, players were still saying, we shouldn't have conceded a goal in that game, and that sort of thing. I think that competition, even when you're winning games where you feel like it can still be better, must really benefit the group, the collective, when the mentality is always improvement.
Yeah, of course. I think I give the guy a lot of props to the coaching staff and Seamus of hating to concede goals and not really be comfortable when we concede one, even if we won 5-0 or 5 or 4. Then when you concede one, you can, like you said, we get that feeling of, okay, somebody could have done better, we could have done this better, because at the end of the day, at the last minutes of the season or last moments of the season, we don't want to concede those goals, you know what I mean? So I think when we concede those goals, we always go in the video and we always get in the meetings and say, what can we done better? How do we not concede this? How do we not concede that? And once you have that mentality in all of the boys and in all of the team, That's why you win games. That's why you want to score as well, but you want to get scored on, and that's one of the important key points that that's made us strong this season for sure.
And you know, short term, I know you want to win as much as you can with Lauren. Long term, what are your career aspirations?
Oh, I mean, that's what you ask every player. I feel like I want to be a good player, a important player for, I don't know, for my country. I'm just aiming big here. But I just want to be one of the best players I can. Enjoy my football, enjoy my career, and get better. I feel that's the sky's the limit for each and one of the player who works hard, who has a good mentality, and always has his head right, and always just taking care of himself. And I feel that's me. I'm just trying to make the best of me in each and every area. How much if I can, and hopefully have a good career ahead of me.
And when you say international, because I know you've eligibility with USA and Mexico, is it Mexico we're referring to?
That's a good question. I don't know yet. We haven't decided it yet as a family. Not really as a family. I'm pretty sure it's more my decision, but I don't have a decision at the moment. Whoever calls first, probably I'll answer the call. I'll choose my side after that, but right now, I'm sorry, but I don't have an answer for that one.
Do you know what? That is absolutely fine. I put you on the spot a little bit there, and handled just like when you're on the pitch with such poise. I have to say, I really, really commend you. You know, you're a young man in a different country, and you just conduct yourself in such a fantastic way. And for listeners, I don't wish to embarrass you, Haziel, but you know, when you think of 19-year-olds, we don't always think of someone who can speak as eloquently, especially when you're multilingual. So that's very, very impressive. So fair play to you, and genuinely, thank you so much for coming onto the program.
No, I appreciate you for inviting me in, and thank you for the opportunity to talk to you. Thank you.
The Score with Michael Clark.
That is us approaching the end of this week's program. Great to have Haziel Orozco on, and a big thank you not just to him, but to Niall McGinn, Cal McLean, and Johnny Addis for joining us as well. As we've been mentioning, two games on Easter Tuesday in the Premiership. Then it'll be the post-split fixtures officially out on Tuesday night, and we can all get excited about the final five games in the top flight. Carrick Rangers Linfield and Cliftonville Larne, the outstanding fixtures to be played. And then the Championship, the post-split fixtures already out after the midweek games. So how very exciting. That title race is fascinating. We will be certainly taking a closer look at that in the weeks ahead. But for now, on behalf of me and the team, as ever, it's been a pleasure. Hope you've enjoyed it, and we'll do it all again next week. Have a great Easter, and until next time, enjoy your weekend of sport. Bye-bye.